This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome to the program international best-selling author Douglas Preston. We'll talk about his new book, The Monster of Florence, A True Story. Good afternoon, Doug. Welcome to the program.
Good to be on the show.
Thanks so much for joining us. I've been looking forward to this, and I've been telling folks, hey, you got to listen to the show today if you're looking for a good summer thriller that'll creep you out. This is it. And am I correct in saying this is going to be a movie?
Yes. Well, they're working on it. Probably be a couple of years before it's actually released. But the screenwriter is Christopher McQuarrie, who wrote The Usual Suspects.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, he won an Academy Award for that screenplay. So it's probably going to be a good film.
Yeah. Okay, great. So let's tell people about this story. That will be a big Hollywood blockbuster at some point here in the next few years. But before then, they can rush out this weekend and get the book. I guess the best place to begin, Doug, is when did this whole thing come across your radar? When did you first find out about this?
Well, I've long wanted to live in Italy. I always had this dream of going to Italy and living in a farmhouse in the Tuscan Hills and writing books. And I'm a thriller writer, and I got to the point in my career where I could actually go to Italy and fulfill my dream with my wife and our two kids. And I had the idea of writing a murder mystery set in Tuscany. Well, when we got to our farmhouse, this beautiful 14th century stone villa about a couple of miles outside the city of Florence, I discovered that the olive grove in front of our house had been the scene of one of the most horrific double murders in Italian history. And I have to tell you, my wife was very upset. But being a writer of murder mysteries, I was kind of intrigued. I thought, gee, I'd like to know more about this. And that's how I discovered the serial killer known as the Monster of Florence.
That's what he's known in the Italian press as.
That's right. And it's an incredible story. I was curious to know more about it. And I found the journalist in Italy who had covered the cases from the beginning. He was the crime correspondent for La Nazione, which is the local paper. And I tracked him down, and we had a coffee, and he told me the story. And, I was stunned. I always considered myself a connoisseur of dark stories, but I had never in my life heard a story as horrifying or as unbelievable as this one.
We're talking with Douglas Preston. The new book is The Monster of Florence, A True Story. So share some of this darkness with us. What did this reporter tell you?
Well, the monster killed lovers in the Florentine Hills between 1974 and 1985. He would ambush them while they were making love in parked cars. He would kill the man, and then he would kill the woman, and then move her body away from the car and perform a ritualistic mutilation on her, which is very disturbing. And he was a very cautious killer. Mario Spezzi, this Italian journalist I teamed up with, said that the first crime scene that he saw looked like a museum diorama. He said usually he covered crimes. You know, murder scenes are very messy. There's signs of a struggle. There's usually, you know, gore everywhere. He said in this scene it was so neat, so little evidence was left, that it looked like a museum diorama. He said the boy was sort of had his head leaning against the window of the car, and he looked like he was asleep. And the only thing that indicated a crime scene to him was that a little bullet hole in the window lined up with a hole in the side of his head. And that was it.
Wow. And then
he went away from the car. The cops were there. They showed him the body of this woman. He saw, you know, what the monster had done. But the monster killed only one or two times a year, always on a Saturday night with no moon in the summer. And he was he would often tease the police. He would usually wait until they arrested someone for the crime, and then he would kill again, almost as a way of teasing them. And at one point, even nailed a body part from one of the victims to the police to notify them that he had killed again.
My God. We're talking with Douglas Preston, international best-selling author. His new book is The Monster of Florence, A True Story About Italy's Most Notorious Serial Killer. And it's soon to be a major motion picture. Hollywood. This has got Hollywood written all over it, doesn't it?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I can't say that I'm even the first person to discover this story because Thomas Harris, the author of The Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal, was fascinated with the Monster of Florence case and actually based Hannibal on the Monster of Florence. He spent some time in Italy and attended the trial of one of the accused, one of the people who were accused of being the Monster of Florence, who was acquitted. He was innocent. But it's fascinating. Thomas Harris mined this story for his fiction in a big way.
Yeah, yeah. And your book is all true. So you work with this Italian journalist, and you learn. You're sitting there having coffee. You're learning about these horrendous murders that went on for years and years. So what's your next step?
Well, the Monster of Florence had never been caught, and this Italian journalist had a real obsession with the case. He had been diligently collecting information on the killing for years and years, and he really had more information than the police. The police, you know, the investigators changed constantly, and, you know, there was never any continuity, and every investigator had a new theory. But Spezzi investigated continuously, and he had evidence that pointed to a particular person as being the Monster of Florence. And I said to Spezzi, I said, look, we've got to write this up for an American audience. We have got to tell this story in English, which has never been told before. And so we got a contract to write this up for a magazine. And as we gathered the information and as we looked at it, this particular individual became more and more, we were more and more convinced that he was the Monster of Florence. And finally I said to Mario, you know, what we have to do is we have to go talk to this guy. And we have to ask him, are you the Monster of Florence? And we did that. Mario was very worried about confronting him because this is a very dangerous man. Mario Spezzi lived in the hills of Florence where the monster had been killing people. You know, he had a young wife and he had a daughter. So he decided to go in there and use a fake name. So we showed up at this guy's apartment at about 10 o'clock at night because we wanted to be sure of finding him there. We didn't give him any advance notice that we were coming.
Doug, I got to ask you, weren't you scared? I mean, this is I don't know if I would have gone over there. I mean,
we were terrified, but we decided to use fake names, that I would be a writer for this American magazine, you know, which I didn't feel like I was in danger. And Mario Spezzi would make up a fake name and just pretend to be my interpreter and, you know, someone helping me out with the case. And that we were just doing a series of routine interviews of all the people connected with the monster case, because this guy had been connected. So we rang the doorbell, and the guy let us in. And he was an amazing individual. He was very, very handsome, extremely muscular, smiling and charming, very soft-spoken, and he had that kind of rough working-class charm that, you know, the young Robert De Niro had, with a lot of charisma. And we sat down, and started asking him questions, very softball questions at first. I almost forgot to tell you this. This is the scariest thing of all. When we walked in, this guy looked at Mario Spezzi and he said, ah, you're Mario Spezzi. You're the guy who wrote all those articles about the monster case. I've wanted to meet you for the longest time.
Wow.
He said, I must have misheard your name there. So Mario went white. I mean, there was our cover blown.
Yeah, yeah.
So we asked him all these questions, and finally at the end of the interview, we asked him, are you the Monster of Florence? But he knew we were heading to that question for a long time. We were, you know, our questions were becoming much more pointed.
Had he been a suspect in the past?
He had been peripherally. Only briefly, the police had looked at him, they'd arrested him on firearms charges, and then they decided, no, it was... He was a member of a Sardinian clan of criminals, and the monster belonged to this clan. They knew that because of the gun and the shells that the monster was using. So the police were looking at every member of this clan, and he was one of them. But they decided very quickly and prematurely that he wasn't it, for reasons that aren't really clear and aren't really good reasons.
So
we asked him at the end, are you the Monster of Florence?
And you're just sitting like in his living room or something?
We were, and he smiled. Now, if I accused you of being the Zodiac killer, I don't think you'd still be smiling, but he smiled, and he said, I'm so sorry I can't offer you that scoop. And then he said something in it that I can't repeat on the radio because it's just too obscene and outrageous. And then as we were leaving...
And it was, you can't repeat it because it was like basically, you know, F you guys and get out of here, or?
No, it was basically referring to the mutilation on the women and his, it's, I'm sorry, I can't even find euphemistic words to say
yeah,
this. He basically said, I like making love to a woman when she's still alive.
Okay.
But he said it in a very vulgar way.
I got you.
But then as we were leaving, he's smiling all the time. He leaned over and put his hand on Mario's shoulder, smiling. And he said, oh, Betsy, I was almost forgetting. I'm smiling, but I never kid around. I don't play games. Don't forget that.
Creepy.
And it was almost like he was playing with us.
Yeah, yeah.
It was incredible. It was terrifying.
It was almost like he expected you.
He was enjoying it.
Yeah.
He loved it. And in fact, this is an important point. Years ago, when the monster was still killing, the Italians were so desperate that they actually secretly hired the American FBI to prepare a psychological profile of the monster, the killer. And when this profile came in, the Italians read it, and they didn't like it at all. They said, oh, you know, this, because it didn't match their suspects or their theories of the crime. So they suppressed the report. Well, Mario got his hands on this report, and I read it. And believe me, this was a good report. I mean, the FBI, that behavioral science unit, really knew their stuff. And this report fit our suspect to a T. Everything it said matched him.
We're talking with Douglas Preston, international best-selling author. His new book is The Monster of Florence, a true story about Italy's most notorious serial killer. I don't know why I keep mispronouncing that. Serial killer. And Doug's efforts as a writer working on a book about the case to actually track down this killer that had never been caught. So you go to this guy's house. He sort of plays with you. What's the next step?
Well, we wrote this up and published it in Italy, in Italian. And we expected that the police would pay attention to it. I mean, we had a lot of information and that they didn't have, and we also had things that he'd said in the interview which only the killer could have known. And we fully expected the police to say, this is very important information, we're going to investigate this guy. Exactly the opposite happened. The police were very angry at us because we disagreed with their official theory of the crime.
Which was what?
They believe that it was not a lone psychopathic serial killer, but was in fact a satanic sect that needed body parts from women for their satanic rituals, their black masses. Now, I mean, this is crazy. There's no evidence for this. Trust me, you know, we know that this evidence left at the crime scene did not in any way support this theory. But the police were in love with this theory. They've been investigating it like this for 10 years. They'd spent tens of millions, maybe $100 million on this investigation. They'd looked at over 100,000 men, and they just couldn't reverse course. And they saw us as being as interfering with their investigation. And they came after us.
So they came after you, the American living in Italy, writing about this case.
That's right. And they came after Spezzi. They broke down the door to his apartment. They came in. They took away his computer. They took away all the drafts of our book because we decided at that point, after we did the magazine article, that we'd write a book. And Spezzi had managed, just before they came in, to stuff one of his computer diskettes down into his pants. So they didn't actually get the manuscript. They got all our research, our archive, everything, but they didn't get the actual text of the book itself, although they got copies of it. So they knew what was in it. And I was very upset that this had happened. But I'd always felt, you know, being an American, and, you know, I'm fairly well known. I'm a best-selling author, not only in America, but also in Italy. My books are translated into Italian, and I'm a bestseller in Italy. I was thinking, oh, they wouldn't dare touch me, how wrong I was. One day I was walking down the streets of Florence. I actually went out to get my wife a cappuccino in the morning, and my cell phone rang. And a voice, speaking Italian, said, is this Mr. Preston? I said, yes. And the voice said, this is the police. Where are you? We are coming to get you right now. Don't move.
We're talking with best-selling author Douglas Preston about his new book, The Monster of Florence, a true story So you were scared to death, weren't you?
Well, I was completely freaked out. My poor wife didn't get her cappuccino that morning. I thought, this is nuts. I mean, they said to me on the phone, you must meet with us. It's obligatorio. It's obligatory. You must. And I thought, well, you know, I'm in a foreign country. I'm going to obey their rules. I'm a law-abiding person. I'll meet with them. And they took me in for an interrogation. And for hours, they interrogated me without a lawyer, in Italian, with no interpreter. And they accused me of committing heinous crimes. And they said if I didn't confess, that they would indict me for perjury right there on the spot. And I said, look, how can I confess to crimes I didn't commit? These are absurd. These crimes you're accusing me of, these are ridiculous. No, Mr. Preston, these are facts.
Doug, what crimes were they committing you of, saying you committed?
Well, I detail this in the book. That it's a bit of a long story, but basically they were saying that Mario Spezia and I went to this villa and planted a gun and other evidence as a way to try to frame an innocent person for being the monster of Florence. In fact, the person that we believe is the monster of Florence. They were claiming that we had tried to plant evidence to frame him. And they had no support for this theory at all. This was just something they came up with out of the blue. I mean, there wasn't any evidence, nothing that we'd done gave them any kind of idea that we might have committed this crime.
Okay.
But then they said to me in the interrogation that Spezia himself was suspected of the murder of a doctor who had belonged to the satanic cult, and that Spezia himself, they believed, belonged to the satanic cult, and that, in fact, he knew all about the crimes of the monster of Florence, because, remember, their theory is that it was the satanic cult doing the killings, not just one person, and that, in fact, he was guilty of murder, and that I was guilty of being an accessory to murder after the fact because I knew all about it and was refusing to tell them what I knew. And they said, you know, if you don't tell us, we're going to charge you with perjury. And this, it's a type of perjury called, in Italian, reticence, or reticenza. It just means withholding information from the police. And I said, look, I can't tell you. I've told you everything I know. I've been completely open with you. And they indicted me for perjury and other crimes. And they said that they would lift the indictments to allow me to leave Italy, but that they'd be reinstated later. And I left Italy within 24 hours with my wife and children.
Gosh, so what happened to Mario Spezia, the reporter you've been working with?
Well, his fate was much worse than mine. They came and they arrested him, and they threw him in prison. And they accused him of being the monster of Florence, or being a member of the satanic sect. And they said that the only reason that he and I were pursuing these other leads, was that we were trying to divert the police or to derail their investigation away from the real suspect, which was Mario Spezia. So he was in prison for 3 weeks and treated brutally in prison, just brutally. I mean, this wasn't a nice prison where he was in a nice cell and everything. They stripped him. They humiliated him. It was really awful what they did. And then there was an international uproar. And, you know, I mean, the story goes on and on. The monster of Florence is a very complex story here, but it just when you think it can't get any worse, it gets worse.
So to this day, and it's been, over 20 years since the last killing, but to this day they've never caught the person or persons that committed those atrocities.
That's right. They've never identified the person. It's the longest, most expensive criminal investigation in Italian history. And I think I may have mentioned they looked at over 100,000 suspects. They also arrested a dozen or more people who then had to be released because the monster killed again while they were incarcerated, and the police, in this terrible humiliation, had to release their suspect. And then as soon as they arrested somebody else, the monster would kill again.
So, Doug, in your book, well, let me ask you this. The guy that you went and met with that night, the guy that used to, the blue-collar guy who was smiling a lot,
yes.
You think he is the guy?
We do think so.
And you make the case in your book?
We do. We don't accuse him. We just lay out the facts. I mean, our book is a bit like an Agatha Christie mystery, you know. We lay out the facts, except we don't have an Hercule Poirot at the end, putting them all together. We lay them out, and then the reader can decide for themselves whether, you know, this man is a likely killer or not.
So what's up with the Mario Spezzi, the reporter in Italy? What's the latest on him?
Well, he was finally released from prison, ordered released, and the Supreme Court of Italy ruled that his imprisonment was illegal and reprimanded the judge. But I'll tell you something about this judge. The man behind the persecution of us as journalists is a prosecuting judge named Mignini, and he's a very important and powerful judge in Italy. His area is the area around Perugia. This same judge has put a 20-year-old American girl in prison, accusing her of murdering her English roommate, a girl named Amanda Knox. She has been in prison now for 8 months, and she is innocent. This judge has manipulated in my opinion, the evidence against her. He's released false evidence to the press, and a perfectly innocent American girl is in prison, accused of a murder that she did not commit.
Douglas Preston is an international best-selling author. His new book, The True Story of the Monster of Florence. Doug, all the nitty-gritty details are in here, and we'll encourage folks to read this book with the lights on, and the movie will be out in a few years. It's an amazing story. Doug, thank you so much for being with us. I've enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. It's great to be on the show.
Absolutely. Douglas Preston, the book is The Monster of Florence.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.